Hello, and welcome to Dekel Oil Shareholder Call. My name is Molly, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. If you need assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Lincoln Moore, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Lincoln Moore speaking from Dekel Oil. Thanks for taking the time to join us, and also thanks to St Bride's for organizing this conference call, which we note will also be recorded and added to the website. I'm joined as well by Shay Cole, our Deputy CEO, and also our CFO, who will be working through the questions with me today. In terms of a bit of housekeeping, we'll be putting the presentation up on the website a little later today. It's probably not huge material updates because we did one of these calls probably 6 to 8 weeks back, but that will go up. I mean, just for those that perhaps are new to the company, Dekel Oil is a palm oil producer based in Cote d'Ivoire. We have one of the largest mills in West Africa. Over the last 3 years, I guess we've had improving financial results, and we've obviously run into a more challenging this year, which we'll go into today and talk about that and where we see things going forward. The business is, of course, evolving, and we're looking to expand into other activities. So we would have recently seen we're intending to move into processing, which is, we think, is an interesting development for the company. And also we have our second palm oil project in Guitry, another region of Cote d'Ivoire, which is in the process of commencing as well. We'll touch on these projects because questions did come through regard to each. Thanks for the questions that came through. We've got over probably 70 questions. So what we've done is broken down into key groups. So just to run through the agenda for the call, the first set of questions, we'll talk about current production and views on production moving forward. There were a few questions in relation to the financials, mainly around dividends and financial outcomes, so we'll talk about those. We had a number of questions about the different expansion activities I just mentioned, obviously the Cashew and Guitry being two key steps. There were some questions which related to more social and environmental aspects of the business and relationships with our community and smallholders. And then we also had some questions about PR and investor relations. So we'll work through that agenda. And then there's a few other bits and bobs at the end that we put under the other questions. So just to kick things off, I think it's probably the logical place to start anyway is obviously our production. We've obviously had a challenging high season that we've completed. Shay, just, you know, the first question, that's the obvious one really is, you know, what do we think were the reasons for this challenging high season? You know, were there any environmental issues you can point to?
Hello, everyone. Yes, this is certainly the main issue. There is no clear evidence of that. In terms of the weather, the main factors are the rainfall and the sunlight, and we are tracking this since 2008 on a daily basis. The data cannot evidence anything clear on that. There is a cycle, a known cycle in the in agriculture and also in the farm industry of stress trees after a few years of good yields that comes from time to time. And there's no clear understanding of the timing of it and the clear reason for that.
Okay, and you were obviously there was a question about the last time we saw it, when we've mentioned this a couple of times, 2010. Shay, just, I mean, you know, obviously 2010 was followed by a very strong 2011. I mean, what is the current view of the board as to how things are perhaps looking? Is this, you know, a one-off thing, or is it a continuous thing, is really the question?
No. The board believe, and actually every agronomist that you ask in terms of even after the El Nino phenomena or others occasions of stress of trees, due to weather or due to a cycle, it's known that the following year is bouncing back at least to normal levels or even more than that. It did happen in 2010, and we know that because we were there in 2010, and it bounced back in 2011, which was a very high, very good season in terms of harvesting. So we have all the reasons to believe that it will happen again this time.
Okay, great. And I guess, as you're saying, I mean, some of it's out of our control in terms of environmental and agricultural physiological factors, but I mean, what have we been doing internally, I guess, to limit the damage of a tough period?
So when we started to understand that this is the situation, and slowly everyone in the region understood around February this year, so of course we try to control cost. We're always trying to control cost, but more strictly. We started purchasing a kernel more extensively from outside sources in order to increase the capacity or utilization of the kernel processing. And of course, we try to fight on every ton of FFB. This is part of the reason of the margins reducing a bit because of the fight over FFB and the increase in price and bonuses, and of course to be more efficient and more focusing on the agriculture. This is what we try to do in order to try and mitigate it.
Okay, great. And moving to sort of the current Q3, just any thoughts? I mean, clearly we'll put Q3 numbers out in the next 3 weeks, but just are we seeing that drop off subside?
Yes, we can say that we can see this. We can see it starting to stabilize and to be the production and the yield in the region, and we can certainly say that we started to see that in Q3. To date.
Yeah, albeit it's obviously Q3 is normally almost our lowest production quarter, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the weakest quarter in the year because of agronomic reasons. It's like that throughout all the years. But comparing it, of course, to the previous years, this is how we can see whether it is coming back to standard levels, and we can see that it's coming back.
Okay, great. Well, next quarters we'll touch on quarterly results in my section on investor relations later as well. But the last question really on production was, moving into next year. Is there any sort of link between what happens this year and what happens next year, and just any sort of broad views?
As I mentioned earlier, the general belief is that it, and also the evidence from the past, is that it will come back in terms of the quantities of FFB, and even more than that, we saw growth in our production during the years, and even if it will come back to standard levels, we believe we'll see growth next year. But of course, if it will be extraordinary from the other side of even higher yields, we will enjoy it. So there's no effect. At least we are hoping that there'll be a positive effect.
Okay, great. And just probably there's a couple of questions later, but worth maybe mentioning now. How are we prepared for if there is a good year next year, preparation?
Yeah. Actually, we did that hoping that it will be this year. Following a few years of growth, we were expecting this year additional years of growth, and we prepared to that. The main items we did, we built additional boiler, backup boiler, in order to, which was one of the main components to increase the redundancy of the mill. We increased the capacity of the mill to be able to absorb 75 tons per hour in the peak season, and we also this is something we did before that increased the storage capacity. Approximately a year ago, we completed this in order to be ready for increasing production. On top of that, we did a very extensive maintenance last Q4 in order to get ready to this this year. Hopefully, of course, it assisted us also this year, but unfortunately we didn't utilize the full capacity of the mill. so all that are ready, and of course we'll do the maintenance as required in Q4 this year, and we'll be ready for hopefully a very good year next year.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. And just moving on to the next section on financial, there are a couple of questions about the deferment or the cancellation of dividend. So the first one is, if you're not paying the dividend, what are we doing with the cash? And the second one is, when do we foresee we would start paying dividends again?
Yeah, okay. So given the circumstances, and that is why we waited till now, I wanted to see how it is progressing. We thought that it will be prudent and better for the company to be not to pay the dividend and to utilize the as cash for the working capital to get ready for next year with proper working capital. And in terms of when we are planning to go back, hopefully it's just a hiccup on the development of the company, and we'll go back to paying dividends next year.
Okay, great. There was another financial question relating to in the cash year announcement. There's a lot of talk about debt facilities used to fund the cash year project. Is there any link between the question was really, was there any link between our debt situation and the debt situation of cashews and it affecting the cashew debt?
The simple answer is no, but I'll explain. We have an option to purchase the cashew project, which the option will mature in 2-3 years. And the debt structure of Deckel Oil does not affect the cashew project. Actually, the cashew project has its own financing already in place, so there's no connection between the two.
Okay, great. And there was another question relating to people noted in each AGM we seek authority for share buybacks. Are we looking to continue this? Is this something we intend to utilize? Any thoughts on the share buyback?
Yes, we do want to preserve this this option, and when the funds will be available for us to utilize this tool when and if appropriate, but we want to keep this available for us.
Okay, great. So that were really the questions around the financial aspects. Just moving on to our expansion activities, we had some questions around North Palm, Cashew, and Guthrie. So the first question is, what's going on with North Palm, and where do we see this going? I think we previously announced that it was in a holding pattern, and I certainly wouldn't say it's dead, but it certainly is in a holding pattern, and from our point of view, has become secondary and primary in terms of priority to the cashew operation. There's a few reasons for that. I think the financial projections for the cashew are what we believe much more attractive potentially than North Palm. I think clearly, given where the palm oil price is, it would have been a very challenging period if we had gone ahead and acquired North Palm. That business, it needed, it was a turnaround story really, needed some reinvigoration. and you know, things like, for example, extraction rate there is much lower than what we get on their mill. So it'll be a very, I'd imagine, quite a challenging time at North Palms. So possibly a blessing that we're currently out the owners. But it is a natural progression for us to move into Ghana, and we remain interested in the asset. It's just fallen clearly below priority of the cashew, and at the moment we're not pursuing it aggressively. So that's probably what we can say on that. Looking at the next question, moving to cashew, how do we, you know, in terms of, we've got, Shane mentioned, we've got the option, and how do we intend to finance this acquisition? You know, do we use debt? The question is debt, equity, or combination of both. I mean, the first thing to point out is, you know, we have quite a bit of time to figure out the optimal solution, and, you know, it'll be driven by, I guess, the financial strength of Decal at that time when we choose to go ahead with the option. Yes, debt is an option. Yes, equity is an option and a combination. I'd expect that the shareholders of Capro, who are shareholders of Decal, would seek where possible to take shares in Decal, so there wouldn't be any new equity cash raised or debt or potentially debt for the large majority of that. But I think it will be a combination of all of them, and ideally if the company can support it, that a more suitable long-term debt structure, which possibly in the form of a long-term bond, a bullet bond where the principals are removed, may be something which would be interesting to allow us to sensibly lever. But as we see now, of course, we do want to make it that balance right. So it could be a combination of all. It's just a really bit too early to say. But, you know, overall, what we can say about cashews is the financial outcome of the outcomes for that business potentially are much greater than the palm oil business, would say, potentially. So even if there is some equity raised, we think any dilution would be more than compensated by, you know, much heavier profitability coming from the cashew business. Moving to the next one, when do you think the cashew business will start producing? Yeah, we've said a few times that the plan is that we'll start test production at the end of 2019. The way the cashew season works is the cashews are bought during effectively February to May each year. So what we would like to do is be buying, you know, small amounts of cashew in the early part of 2019 to enable the test phase of the mill to be completed at the end of 2019, and make sure that when we start the 2020 year, everything is ready to go to potentially up to maximum production and buy a cashew heavily in the February to May 2020 high season. So we hopefully will start seeing more announcements flow on cashews. The obvious next one is the acquisition of the mill itself and the commencement of infrastructure works, which are both imminent and, you know, we hope to announce very shortly. In terms of moving on to Guthrie, in terms of the questions there was about, you know, where do we see this starting, questions about who the strategic development partner is, when will it produce CPO. Well, what we can confirm is we believe we found the partner that we want to commence Guthrie. There's a due diligence phase that goes through with this development partner, and we're in the middle of that at the moment. And I don't want to put timelines on it, but the idea is to move it quickly. You know, DDs typically can take 2 months to 6 months, so that's sort of a broad range of what we're aiming for. You know, we see Guthrie development being done in stages. I mean, the goal initially is to have a fully operational nursery, which is cash flow positive, similar to our first nursery, and deliver the pilot first plantation estate. And really, the goal is, once that's done, is then to reset and think about the way to expand that project, because, you know, we haven't made firm decisions. Where do we see the potential for an early stage mill supported by smallholders? Obviously, we've been quite clear that Guthrie doesn't have the same level of smallholders as ANOI, but there are smallholders in the region, particularly to the north of Guthrie, which we could perhaps operate with. But we feel that once you've got the nursery and the pilot estate, you've got your feet on the ground and you're in a more better position to have those conversations and determine whether it's economical to put an early stage mill in. So that's the case. CPO production, you know, could be a lot earlier within, say, 12 months of the completion of that stage one I described. If not, we think it's more of a company plantation led business, it will, you know, would inevitably be 5 years for production. So it really is a strategic asset development play. So in terms of adding to production and revenue, what shareholders should expect is that the cashew business will be the next in line to deliver that. And then the Gucci is a strategic long-term project, which has considerable asset value and will be much longer term in terms of its potential production, unless, of course, we were able to confidently produce, set up a new early stage to produce from smallholders. So that was a really good question on the expansion. James, so back to you. We had a number of questions about social elements of the business and smallholders and smallholder relations. Just touching on the social side first, can you just touch on some of the community initiatives that we've put into place and also planning? And also there's a question about, you know, local community members working at the company, and just run through some statistics there.
Yes, certainly. First, we are connected very closely to our community. Basically, the mill is situated not just near the village of Ayanoa. Most of our employees, we have 315 employees. Out of it, only 4 is expats. So all the workers are coming from the neighboring villages, mainly Ayanoa, but also others. Our senior management is also local. We can find very good skilled labor there, and we are working very closely with the community on a day-to-day basis. In terms of the initiatives that we did to the community and mainly to the neighboring village, Ayanoa, we actually agreed with the community, represented by the chef of the village and its committee on what are the projects that we are supporting the village. We did several already, and there's a long-term plan for additional ones. The main one till now is we renovated the school. We added some classes to the school. We built a clinic in the village, and there's a doctor coming twice a week to this clinic to service the village. We provided also a bus for the transportation of the children to the school from the neighboring villages. We also provided fresh water from a borehole of the nursery to the village, so they have constant fresh water. These are the main ones we did till now. The coming one is the plan to build a market as requested by the village. So we have an agreed plan with the community on what are the initiatives. So we are for each period we are doing something based on this plan, as I mentioned. Hello.
Sorry, stop mute for a second. Just
questions
on the related to smallholders. What are we doing to keep relations with the smallholders? And do we see, obviously, our business, well, certainly this project is well over 90% feedstock from smallholders. Do we see that as a sustainable business going forward?
Yes. So, first, the reason for what happened this year is not the relationship with the smallholders, but we continue to work as we worked before with the smallholders, focusing on the smallholders. Our mill has a very good reception area, I mean, very efficient one towards the smallholders, so there's rarely queued even when the factory is full in capacity. We have logistics centers just in order to service and to be closer to the smallholders and make it easier for them to deliver the fruits. We are very strict on payments, and we are paying on time, and they know it, and we have a lot of confidence coming from the smallholders on that they'll get paid for the fruits. We're working closely with the cooperatives of the smallholders and building programs with them, and in some points even giving some small financing for the cooperatives. In addition to that, we have more initiatives to come, which obviously in terms of the competition that we are at, we are not publishing it in advance, but there's more initiatives that to work together with the smallholders. And with regards to whether it's a sustainable business, I think it's already proven. I mean, since starting production in 2014, we are increasing our production, and we are getting support from the smallholders, even though we are buying 95 and even more than percent of our production of our FFB from the smallholders. It's being even enforced by the World Bank plan that we participated in the last 2 years when providing plants for the smallholders. From our nursery financed, more than approximately 50 to 60% of it was financed by the World Bank towards the smallholders to continue planting and replanting the plantation for the future. So there's no doubt that it's a sustainable business.
Yeah, and you touched on it there as well, that, you know, when we say this repeatedly, that the number of smallholder estates is no doubt increasing, because we've been selling a lot of it from our own nursery, and there's other nurseries. So we know the body of planting is growing. There was another question about, you know, trying to maximize yields from smallholders. Just, you know, just anything, you know, we can do, or where do you see the improvement coming from?
Yes, look, only the fact that we came into this place that initially there was a lack of processing capacity, and suddenly there is a processing capacity. This is what created, and this is the base for this change of and this additional planting and the World Bank program, and the farmers understand it, and they do invest in new plantation, and they started to invest in fertilizers. We can see it across the region. Though the effect is fertilizers is only 2 years after that, but they're starting to produce more and to adapt proper cultivation plans for the plantation, with the assistance of our part of the reason of our close relationship or close contact with the smallholders is also to assist in cultivation knowledge and agriculture, agronomic knowledge throughout our Encadrer team, which are local guides that work in a set with certain villages that explain and assist on how to properly work. But we must say that, generally speaking, they do know what is needed to be done in the plantation. And it's already started to affect.
Okay, great. And just the last question on the social side was RSPO, just to, if you can give a brief update as to where that's at.
Yes, look, it's a slow process, but we are just completing the main last component of the RSPO, which is the effluent treatment plant. We are now at the commissioning phase, following a few problems that we had, and we'll be the first to have proper effluent treatment plants in Ivory Coast. This is the last main component. Other than that, is there's no main issues besides that. It's more of putting things in order and ticking the boxes of processes and some internal work. Other than that, it's not a significant thing that we are working on it. We have a committee that is dedicated to that, and we'll complete it. Following the commissioning of the effluent treatment plant, which is, as I said, the last main component, we believe we can push it forward.
Okay, great. Now moving on to the PR and investor relations type question. So the first one is, can we do these conference calls more regularly? The answer is, yeah, I think yes. We obviously started it with the a couple, two or three months ago with the annual results, and then we've done one obviously today about interim results, but also given we're mindful it's sort of been a challenging period to make sure we're answering as many questions as we can. But I think probably it makes sense that we'd look at 3 year one around the annual results, which typically was slightly different this year, came a bit later because of distractions with trying to close the cashew transaction as well. But typically we have our annual results in May, so May, and then we look at one around the interims, similar time to this in September, and perhaps we can add a third one at the end of the year around mid-January to tidy up on the production for the year. So yes, we can look at doing these three times a year. Second question relates to production updates. We've had this, a few times. Can we do monthly rather than quarterly? Is the suggestion? I think where we sit with that is probably, obviously most of our competitors do it every six months. So we do it every quarter, which is more than the others in the market. There's factors obviously that we're mindful of going to monthly, which technically of course we can do, but are we going to make the situation possibly more volatile? Because there are often significant fluctuations in monthly production. So perhaps, we put out, there's a bit of timing issue, the fruit comes after the month end instead of before month end. We perhaps end up being even more misleading by trying to give too much information. But of course, the other reason is commercial sensitivities. We are operating in a competitive environment, and perhaps going monthly is giving up too much information. So I think our preference is to stay quarterly for those reasons. I think the more underlying problem is, obviously until we commence the cashew transaction, and now we have a new project going ahead, we obviously have less to update the market on, because the initial project, all the capex around it, being the kernel crushing plant, the MP3 bunch press, the extra storage, the boiler, the increasing capacity, that's all being done. So there has been much less to announce on that project, which in some ways positive. It means it's, the capex is done and it's an organically growing project. But of course, it means less touch points with the market. Now, where I think that will change as we move into the cashew business is clearly with the cashew project going through a capex phase. There will be a lot more announcements to be made as we gear up that project to production. And of course, in time, once we start producing, we'll have, two sets of numbers to be produced, one on the palm oil, one on the cashew. And of course, thirdly, as I indicated earlier, the goo tree is something we think is imminently going to commence, and we'll have a third project. So I think, if it's a case of trying to have more touch points, I think our preference would be to leave it at quarterly, and we'll see much more news flow come from the alternate projects. The next question came about, where obviously the stock price has come back considerably over this challenging high season, and where do we see the sellings coming from? We see our and talk to our institutional shareholders regularly, and we're very confident that, no one's happy, of course, when the share price is down, but they do understand that the bigger plan and objectives that we're aiming for, both with the initial project and other projects, can see us into a very attractive position in the future, and are patiently waiting that through. So I certainly haven't seen that the selling has come from institutions. So it has been more volatility amongst retail, and in some instances, I guess, over the summer with real low levels of trade, you know, some selling can have a material movement in our stock price, which is clearly, in my view, has been the driver of where we are today. I guess the flip side of that is improved results. Can see things move around very quickly, of course, as well as retail confidence is gained. And I certainly hope that you know, we're taking the feedback that more consistent communication by methods such as this will be helpful to the retail shareholder market. Question about board buying stock. Agreed. The question says it shows confidence, which we of course agree with. The absolute situation has been for 15 months, the board has been inside the entire time, whether it's been due to results, due to the Norpalm due diligence going on, and then moving on to the Kashi project. So we've been inside all that period. It's awkward for me to mention if we're not inside or out, or not inside or not inside now, because that can cause me problems with the Nomad as well, because it can indicate that things are happening, which I'm not allowed to do. But I can confirm that it is discussed regularly amongst the board and become even more regular as the stock price has come to what we believe is very undervalued levels when you're considering the projects we have in play now and coming in to play. And there's a strong willingness to buy once the board has the opportunity. So that's what I can say on that. With the questions about the announcements around the financial calendars and, you know, saying that obviously blue chip companies set their results out dates well in advance and what we can do, it's not as easy for a small company. I mean, if you're talking to auditors, for example, they will, the first 3 months of a year end, they'll focus all their attention on the blue chips because their results need to go out first. So we don't have as full control over timing as those sorts of groups. But, you know, we acknowledge there were a couple of instances. Well, I'd say in the past, actually, we've been pretty good. I mean, our annual results have always come out typically 6 weeks before they're due, and similar for our half years, a bit in advance as well. I mean, this year was slightly different because, you know, at the same time we were trying to get the annual results out at the end of June, we were trying to close the Kashi transaction and the corporate board, there's only so much bandwidth, so that was a little bit later than normal. But and the other thing being AGM announcements, which will go out shortly, was deferred just to give us all the time possible to see if we could keep the dividend in play, and that will now, has become clear, we'll move forward with the AGM, I think, late October, and something will go out very shortly in that regard. But what we can do, I think, is, you know, try and be a bit more consistent around the quarterly production, so that the goal will be to make sure that they come around the 10th of each month. So they're sort of typically going out somewhere between the 11th to 18th, but try to aim for the 10th. And if there's a weekend, a couple of days later. So we'll be more consistent about those. And I think our annual results and interim results will move back to normal and be well before the end of the period, which, you know, typically companies of our market cap, you see a lot of them putting their results out right at the end, which is something that we don't do. Last question, if we put more photos up, can we do more online? Short answer is yes. We've always been a little hesitant about putting Twitter photos up of piles of fresh fruit bunches sitting in the meal and things like that, purely because that can sometimes be misleading. If we had done that, say, in March, and it might have indicated to people, wow, it's a very strong, it indicates a strong high season, then people, you know, obviously understanding would be upset if it wasn't the case. But I think with the CapEx project starting at the Kashi and potentially at Guthrie, it's a perfect opportunity to ramp up our social media and photos, and we tend to do that as much as we can so people can see, you know, real-time access to how infrastructure works, how CapEx works are progressing, and make those projects come to life via social media, which I think is a perfect forum for that type of thing. And we, of course, can post those pictures on the website. So I think our social, as I said before, I think hopefully there'll be a lot more touch points with announcements, with three projects coming into play. And also with two of those projects being CapEx-style projects, they're more suitable to social media type presentation where we can show the progress through those mediums in addition to announcements. So that touches on those. So we had a couple of other questions. Just one was asked, Bernard Francois coming on the board, I think it was in March. How do we see his impact? I think very, very positive. Clearly, Bernard is highly credentialed. He's been in the local market a long time. He's well respected and holds gravitas amongst the community, amongst the cooperatives, amongst the other panel players. And he has a lot of background experience that we can lean on. You know, we've noticed that, amongst our senior staff down there, there's certainly a huge level of respect for him. So from a non-executive standpoint, we think he's been very beneficial and continues to offer, very good advice and comfort to the executive team. You know, he was obviously, he lived through the really challenging 2010, for example, and saw the 2011. So it's helpful to have someone that was in a production company at that stage that we can point to and learn from the challenging periods and what you can do to flourish once the market turns. So overall, very positive. Next question. Shay, we had some questions about the regional conflicts in Liberia and Ghana, if there's any impact on us.
No. There's no impact. No impact on Dekil Oil, actually.
Okay, yeah.
We are even not. It's very, very clear. I mean, there's no impact whatsoever on us. In Ivory Coast in general, but we are at the other side of Ivory Coast from Liberia, so it's far from us.
Yeah, I'm not sure the actual extent, but again, I could read it. It's totally mutually exclusive. Any issues in other countries tend, although the Cote d'Ivoire is very, works on its own, and I agree. Okay, so that was the last of the questions. I reiterate that this will be put up onto the website so those that could join can listen through. Thank you for the questions. If there's things that we haven't covered, certainly email either to Sabrides or those who have my personal email, please send them through. We endeavour to communicate with everyone. We thank everyone for their support. It's no doubt been a really tough 6 months, and we never like to say that certainly things that we can't control in the last 6 months, and no doubt, as Shay touched at the start, the weakness in the fruit in the high season was the main thing. We can work in weaker pricing environments, but the weakness in the fruit was significant for us, and we look forward to better conditions, and no doubt, I think with support of our shareholders, it could be a quick bounce if there's a return to the typical production levels and some normalisation in prices. And of course, we have the cashew business, which we're pretty excited about building in the background. I think, in 2 years' time, we're looking in very interesting shape. So we went through the challenges and we press forward. And if there's any other questions, please send them through and we'll endeavour to answer them. But thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Shay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, Lincoln.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handset.